So we were in the middle of our sugya, and one Gemara, I realized we read the Mishnah, study of Tosis, but I wanted to just give one backdrop, was the Gemara later of Hagodras. Can I get someone who will volunteer to read? Still in the voluntary mode. No voluntary mode at all. Choose somebody. Ephraim, go ahead. What's Gemara's question? So I didn't hear you. Again?
The Mishnah says that the Rabbanan have a chazaka after 3 years, and the Memra says it sounds like Kingdom Ram really never have
a chazaka. Godras saying them chazaka. What are Godras?
Is that a pendant?
Things that have to be pendant, yes. Probably based upon Gidros Sonim Nenupo. It should include cattle, goats, and sheep. So the Mishnah says, Avadim have chazaka, even though Avadim can walk on their own and possession should not be 9/10 of the law, nonetheless. Reish Lakish had said, the Mishnah says you get a chazaka on an Eved. So Reish Lakish said, there's no chazaka for Godras. Why? Because the fact that I happen to have your sheep in my backyard doesn't mean they're my sheep. It just means the sheep wander into my backyard. So what kind of a proof is that? So the Gemara answers, right, as opposed to normal metaltalim, possession is an indication of ownership immediately. For example, I walk in and I see a wall and a chatzer fallen and it's on my side. That would suggest that's mine. But so Godras have no chazaka. But if I've had these sheep for 3 years, that's already a chazaka. Go ahead. Okay, so this Eved where a katan was in a crib, which really means immobile. So presumably a baby that can't walk or crawl doesn't get from place A to place B unless there's a bigger person that has moved the baby. So a katan amuta barisa, possession would be 9/10 of the law. So the Gemara says, any of you going to be a rabbi? This is a drasha. It's a drasha waiting to happen. Ima lo menash yibra. A mother never forgets her son. This is true. So Gemara says that you would have thought that the mother accidentally left the child. Mother doesn't forget her child. I hear on the radio all the time, it's actually tragic. A number of times a year, but there have been commercials warning people, like CBS Radio 1010, whenever you get out of your car, make sure you check the back seat. Not you and not me, but people with babies. Because every year, a dozen to two dozen children die because parents and moms just forget them in the car. And it's easy if you've never had the experience to be judgmental. The parents of little children can be so overwhelmed, they could momish forget. And on rare occasions, it leads to tragedy. So the Eitzah Tovah, as all Eitzah Tovahs are in life, are the ones that actually work, is put whatever you need. If you're a woman who carries a purse, put your purse in the back seat when you get in the car. This way it's very hard to forget the baby, because if you forget your purse, you'll know it immediately, you'll turn around. And if you're a guy who probably doesn't carry a purse, you could, not normal to toss your wallet, but do something where it becomes very difficult to forget the baby in the back seat. Mar says, Ima lo menashibra. It doesn't mean for 10 minutes. It means a day goes by, she doesn't forget the baby at the end of the day. Okay. So now the Gemara says, tells a story. If you learn Cheskas Abatim, one of the 19th Cheskas Abatim, it's always story time. Go ahead. So there were these goats. Goats will eat anything. And they ate this barley. I mean, it was good food. The owners had spread the barley out in the field. They had already peeled it, processed it, and it was drying. And the goats had a feast. So they imagine the owners of the barley for these goats there, and they grabbed the goats by the scruff of their neck. And they basically said, "You owe us $1,000 that your goats ate of our barley." Now, who had the goats? The answer is the barley owners. If the barley owners, the assumption of this Smeimra is that the barley owners had said, "These are our goats," they would keep the goats. And because of that, Gemara says, go ahead. If you want to, if the goats are worth $100, and the owners claim of the barley claim that the goats ate $500, they need Adam to collect all $500. But to collect $100, ad kidei demeim of the goats, you have a migo. Since you could say lekucha sein biyadi, you can say that you owe me $100 for the barley. Yes, these are your goats, but they ate $100 of the barley, and that you have to pay. So the Gemara says, "V'amar." So they say, no, the gojos doesn't refer to all animals. It refers to sheep. It refers to cows. But apparently, the Rashbam says, as opposed to elam and kvasim, leave out the cows, I'm sorry, as opposed to rams and sheep. But goats are handed over to a roah. Okay. I don't know what sheep eating habits are versus goat eating habits, but I think goats are rather voracious. So, Gemara says that the goats are handed over to a roah, and therefore you can't, in other words, possession does indicate something, because you're not going to steal them from the roah. The goats didn't wander into your backyard. You would have to have stolen them from the roah, and therefore possession is no intent of the law. The fact that you have them indicates something. Then the Gemara says, oh. Apparently, it reminds me of Israel. I think my older son was 4 years old. So he visited Israel with his mother and his cousins and lived in Beit Shemesh. So when they went to the Gan in the morning, I don't know how far away the Gan was, but his older cousin, who was 2 years older than him, was probably 6 or 7, took him and his cousin, who was his age, and walked him to Gan. That would never happen in America. But basically, you could send the 7-year-old and go to Gan. So that's what you do with the goats also. You go to the goats, you give them a little pat on the back and say, go to the shepherd. And apparently the goats know where to go. The goats know where to go. So that's an opportunity for someone to come and grab the goats. So again, possession is not 9/10 of the law. So the Gemara says no. Okay. What are Taye? Yeah, and this has certain racial overtones or undertones, which might have echoes today. But at least back then, their perception of there were marauding, Arabs or petty thieves. So in their da, so apparently, it wasn't a good idea to send your goats on their own because they might have disappeared. And therefore, people handed them over directly to the roeh, and therefore possession of the marei chushlat was an indication they could have claimed. They could have just claimed and been believed that they bought them. And since they're believed to say that they bought them, they're believed to say they ate up until kedei tamehem of the barley and pay me for that barley. So what the Gemara establishes here, though, is that Godros Ein Lahem Chazaka. Why? Because again, possession itself doesn't indicate anything about ownership. Right? We explored last week, we said that Dvarim Ha'asuyim Lahashul Lahaskir, things that you typically lend out, or something you give to the Uman to fix, So possession on those things, when we know who the Marakama was, is not proof of anything. Okay? So here's another example. That was just really to set up Tosus' discussion of when we say, in other words, there is kind of a default that possession is nine-tenths of the law, but there's a category or there's a class of exceptions to that rule. So now let's go read this extraordinarily difficult Tosus for so many reasons. Who else would like to read? There are only two people who volunteer here. Okay. Isaac, why don't you start? And Yoni, you can pick up at some point in the middle. Go ahead. As you read, yes. Or you can explain. Explain what you get to. Go ahead. They have no choice.
Right.
So before, let's keep in mind the O is not, it's not A or B so far, right? The opening statement is Peirush Lefi Shebona Makosa Bal Karcham. Right, so this is a very, Tosus is focusing on what is Lefikach? The Mishnah had said, Shufim agree to build a wall or agree to divide up a chatzer. Then they have to build a wall. So Lefikach is not because they're Shufim. Lefikach is because one party can force the other to build a wall. And therefore we assume what? What? If I can force you to contribute to the building of the wall, what's a safe assumption? That I did not decide, oh, you know, I'll just pay for it myself because I'm a nice guy. No. If I can force you to participate, I will. Now Tosus adds, either Shum de Hiknu Zela Zelasos Buda Lishana Kama. So for the Lishana Kama, that Hezek Rielav Shmei Hezek, and that Ratsu is on the Mechitza, on the Kosel. So why is it that I can force you to build the wall? No, Mishum, the Hiknu Zeh L'Zeh. Right? Why can I force you to build the wall according to the Lishna Kama? Because you agreed to and made a Kenyan on it. Uchagon, now Tosus adds a very important point. No, 1 second. That's the first part. So that it has to be, we remember the Kenyan. There's eight that they made a Kenyan. If there were an Adam that we made a Kenyan, why would this not be true? If we don't remember. Right. What's that? So say that we said, why is it that you need them? Correct. Words, if the whole premise of the Mishnah is that you divide equally, because we know, because one could have forced the other, well, if we have no proof that they made an agreement in the first place, then we don't know that one was able to force the other. In which case, what should the din be? So whoever has it, possession would be 9/10 of the law. And then Tosus says, and according to the Lishna Basra, they can force each other to build the wall because of Hezek Re'iyah. So I'm going to throw out a question, which we're not going to discuss now, but we are going to discuss. It's an important question. Right? The question you asked me, which is, according to the Lishna Basra, where the Mishnah is talking about what kind of chatzah? Chatzah what? What's the word? No. What kind of a chatzah are we talking about? Ein badin chaluka. Tiny chatzah. Can you force someone else to build a wall in a chatzah she'ein badin chaluka? No, because you can't force them to make a chaluka. But if you see a wall in a chatzah she'ein badin chaluka, what do you obviously know? Obviously, they have to agree because you're not, understand like this. If I can't force you to build a wall of hezek rielash mehezek, in a big chatzar, I can still force you to divide it. Now, and one person can unilaterally build a wall if the other guy doesn't want to participate and build it on his side, according to the Lishna Kam. By a chatzar shein badin chaluka, you're not allowed to unilaterally build a wall, because the reason why you can't divide up a chatzar shein badin chaluka against the will of your partner is because half of that size chatzar is useless. By your building a wall, you interfere in his ability to use the chatzar in any meaningful way. So if I see a chatzar standing in a chatzar shein badin chaluka, I know that both parties agreed on some level. But how do I know that when Eli Melech approached me and said, Rebbe, let's divide up our chatzah. And I said, fine, I'm willing to divide up the chatzah, but I want you to build a wall. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm willing to divide up the chatzah for usage purposes, but not if it's going to cost me money to have to build a wall. And if Eli Melech says, fine, he builds the wall himself. He pays for the wall, he builds it in his half, and it's his wall. So, how do we know, in this case, that you can force the other guy to build a wall against his will, according to the Lishna Basra, the second part of this opening salvo of Tosos? And because I see a wall there. But how do I know? But it's not Bal Karcho. It's not Bal Karcho necessarily, because I can't force you to divide up the chatzer. And if I can't force you to divide up the chatzer, I certainly can't force you to build a wall. So Tosus just says, Mishmeh Hezek Kriya. So that would suggest, Isaac, what do you want to say something?
According to the Lishna Basra, he can force him, once he agrees that he wants to separate it, then he can force him to build the wall.
You're correct on that. But in other words, Eli Mel, I could have driven a hard bargain. In other words, all you know is that I agreed. If all the evidence we have, you are correct. If Eli Mel comes to me and says, Rebbe, let's divide up chatzah, I say, fine, let's make a kinyan. Great, make a kinyan. Now he turns and says, Rebbe, let's build a wall because the halacha says you have to. I can't, there's nothing I can do at that point. I agreed to divide the chatzah. But I could have, if I had learned Bava Basra already, and I knew the Lishna Basra, so I could have said to him, divide the chatzah, but you built the wall. So how do I know without Edim, because Tosos only introduces Edim, Uchagon the Adulam, in the first Teretz, in the first Tzad, first Lashon of the Gemara. How do you know in the second Lashon? How do you know that I agreed to divide up the Chatzir Stam, and now Eli Melech could force me to build a wall? Why can't Eli Melech come in Tain and say, he built the wall all himself, he gets all the stones? Because I only agreed to divide up the Chatzir on the condition that I didn't have to contribute to the wall. Yeah. No, he can't. You see, if you were talking about a chatzar sheyesh badin chaluka and you hold hezek re'iya shmei hezek in chanami, he can force me to divide the chatzar, he can force me to build a wall, and he's not going to volunteer to build the wall himself. And we know we divided up the chatzar. But the Mishnah's dafka, ratzu lasos plugta, they agreed to make the division because it's a chatzar sheyesh badin chaluka. So how does, according to Tosfos, lefikach, how do you know that we both built the wall jointly? Maybe my agreement to divide it up was predicated on you build the wall. So that's a question we have to discuss. And once the wall is there, in a chatzar shein badin chaluka, can one of the parties taina, you know, that let's say the wall fell into his rishus, that he built the wall himself, that I agreed to divide the chatzah on the condition I wouldn't have to contribute to building the wall. That's a very important question, not for building walls, but for the prince of Amotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. Isaac.
Isn't the point, though, of Hezek or Iyo that once they decided, like, just to, like, split up the chutzah at any point, they're kind of, like, not Mochel, their Hezek or Iyo anymore, and then it kicks in, and that's why he's able to force him to build the wall with him? Because while they were just sharing the chutzah, you know, they were fine, like, okay, we'll share it together, or I'll do things, like, I don't care if you're, like, watching whatever, it's a shared space. But then once they both agreed, like, we don't
want to
do this anymore,
then it has a. So what you're saying is good, except for that we didn't both agree.
But you agreed to make the plug-up, and then from there it's...
But you would be positing then a very radical idea that you cannot make an agreement that's binding by this type of dinim amenos. The Rishonim discussed the following question. Is there such a thing as chazaka for hezek riya? In other words, let's say we paskin hezek riya shmei hezek. Let's say we divided up the chatzer years ago and we never built a wall. Can I taina? Now, I didn't want to build the wall now 10 years later because you were mocha. You were mocha on the hezek riya. So I think the riff in a tshuva, it's quoted by the Rishonim, says no. The Rimigash quotes it. I think the Rush quotes this, probably from the Rimigash. The Rif says, no, it's like kutra. It's like smoke. It's a case the Gemara is going to have in the second parak of our Masechta, where certain nizakin are so annoying that you can't claim chazaka. A person could, you know, even then they could say, I thought I could handle it, I can't handle it. But even the Rif himself, I think the Rush writes this, Beferish, I don't know if anybody disagrees with this, would agree that's in terms of chazaka. In other words, my mechila doesn't constitute a mechila min hastam, my silence. But if we beferish made a kinyan, then you can't force me to build a wall. There's that beferish works. So that's why this question sort of remains there. In other words, why is it, even according to the Lishna Basra, the second part of Tosos, how do you know that we built the wall jointly? In other words, maybe since you needed me to agree, so again, if we had Edim that Eli Melech and I agreed, stam. And now, I agree, because Eli Melech could force me at that point. But if we don't have Edim, maybe Eli Melech, into whose rishus the wall fell, maybe Eli Melech says, hey, you agreed to divide the chatzah, but you said on the condition that no, that you don't want to contribute to the wall. So I built the wall, and now this is my stuff. Ali Mela? Again, the whole point is that we could make an agreement, and then you could go. It's a question of whether you can actually do it against my will, but you could go ahead theoretically because it's frustrating to deal with me and build the wall yourself. Right? The agreement tells you what's enforceable; doesn't tell you what happened. The lefikach tells you that since it's enforceable, it does tell you what happened. Correct. In other words, the whole premise, I think everybody agrees. So, I don't know if it matters. Lefikach, you could read it. Lefikach could be because we agreed to build the kosel in the first place, we assume that when it was built, it was in fact built jointly, and therefore we assume when it falls, regardless, as the Gemara says, whose rishus it's sitting in. And I don't mean to make a distinction. So, yes.
This is, I mean, it was a bit of a question, but is it possible? possible to assume sort of analogous to the fact that in the case of the Lishkama, where you assume that one person, one party can force the other, he's not to do on his own. Here, too, even though they could theoretically reach an agreement wherein one party is forced to do it on his own, he's not going to take that option because it is such a disadvantage. There's a loss being gained here.
But he's gaining something that he wants.
Right, so it would require an evaluation of that and saying, well, nobody wants that.
But as opposed to the first case, where once they made an agreement, I'm entitled to it. I'm not entitled to I'm not entitled to a divided chatzah with a wall split joint.
Right.
So we'll talk about it. I don't want to. But Tosa sounds like you don't need Adam to that. That's a machlokas harishon. So we have to talk about that machlokas. Okay, moving on. So here's where it gets thorny. V'im Tomar, go ahead, Isaac.
V'im Tomar, in my area, we should divide in a kodel balkor. Why does it matter that it has to be that they built it, that they were using the force to build it with us?
Satoshi says, why is it necessary to invoke the fact that you could force the other party to build it as evidence that the spoils belong to both? And Tosa says, even if it fell into one person's rishus, there are reasons, even if it's not a case where one party could force the other. Nonetheless, they should split it, even though it fell into one person's rishus. Why? So Tosa says, if I find a wall that's fallen in the chatzer, and we're not aware there having been a chazis on either side, our default option would be, that's a reason to split, because if someone had, in fact, built the wall himself, they would have made a chazis. They would have made this visual thing that people saw before it fell, that this wall belongs to me. And how do you know that? Could the Parah Migmara? So what was the Gemara's kasha? The Mishnah said that by a bika, the way the Gemara rereads it, by a bika you can't force the other party. And therefore, if you choose to build a wall on a bika because the other party doesn't want, you build it on your property with your materials and you make a chazis. But if both parties agree to build a wall, what do they do in a bika? They build it on both properties, share their costs, and they make a chazis on both sides. So the Gemara says, why make a chazis on both sides? Make no chazis. So the assumption is that with no chazis, and the Gemara, what was the Gemara's answer? It's a case where one guy went ahead and made a chazis on his own. So the only way to equalize things is now to make a second chazis. But let's say you had no chazis on either side. What would the din have been? If the wall fell down, what would the din have been? Shoshim. Even though it was in the Rishos of Echad. So that's a case, says Tosos. He's assuming that you can force the guy to do it bal karcho, and yet the halacha would be that you're still divided equally because there's no chazis. Lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. Okay. There's a problem, but I don't know if it's apparent to you yet. So let's go on, if it's not bothering you. And what's the proof? Kid parach b'gmara. In other words, how could the Gemara say that lo yaseh chazis lo lezeh v'lo lezeh, if in fact if the wall fell in one person's side, it would belong to that person, they could make the claim. So that's a reason why to make a chazis on either side. So you see what? Even if you make a chazis on either side, and it falls into one person's property, we still assume that it belongs to both. Now, stop for a second here and ask yourself the question. According to Tosos, forget that. Ask why. If I have these stones and sand and whatever else went into the wall sitting on my side of the chatzar, and there's no evidence whatsoever, or my deka. So, why would I assume that it's joint? So Tosus is going to explore that in a second. But you should stop before you even read his kashas and ask the question. Possession is 9/10 of the law. And I have no knowledge here. I have no knowledge that this was built jointly. Why would I assume that it's just him? So what's the answer? No, before you go on, guys, tell me what the answer is. Hey, Don? By the bitka. You can't force the guy to split. Yeah. So point to this, though. By the way, the Gemara reads it.
If he's going to build it by himself, and he's going to for himself cause it so they know it falls. If he's not going to build it by himself, there wouldn't be any puzzle.
Okay, so you're already giving Rashi's answer, which is the absence of a chavis. And there's got to be a line here. The absence of a chavis is evidence of, you know, agreement or something like that. But Tosis is not assuming that. Like, Tosis is not assuming that because he assumes that by chatzer, the absence, it's kashas. Why not say by chatzer the same thing? When the wall falls on the chatzer and there's no chazas, why not say that that's evidence? No, mistress is a fikah because she can force the guy. So by the bika, the assumption is that Tosha says you can't force the guy. And yet, when there's no chazas, the assumption is you would divide it equally. But why? And he doesn't say, like Rashi does, he doesn't say that the absence of a chazas is evidence. And that's why he's going to go on to actually give the explanation that he does, which is what?
Shutfis.
You got to explain that. It's not, no, because the whole point is we're trying to establish there was shutfis. But Baal Karcho establishes that we know there was shutfis. Because I can force you to, I'm not going to do it myself, therefore we're shutfin. So, are you telling me you're saying something? In other words, let's say the wall doesn't fall. I walk in and I see a wall between two properties. As I see the fallen wall, and I know that wall, that was from a fallen wall. If I find a neat row of bricks and stones and a pile of dirt on your side of the bika, I'm not going to assume that's anything but yours. But I can see that this is a broken wall. So I know there was a wall. Had I seen the wall when it was standing, what my assumption have been?
No.
The natural assumption is,
sure,
is that it's split. I have no reason to think that it's one person over the other. In other words, there's a suffix already from the beginning that we can see this. I know we don't see the wall standing, but we do see the wall standing. We have an imagination. We see these fallen rocks and stones and sand. Yeah, that was once a wall. So if that's the case, Tosa says that it was a suffix mitrilaso. Nefila to one side doesn't actually help you. This obviously creates a problem. Just stepping back is, so in the chatzer, also it's the same thing. If I see a fallen wall in the chatzer, my assumption is this was once a standing wall. And had I seen the standing wall, I would have assumed, by default, why would I assume that it was both of theirs, Eli Melech? By a bika, you can't. I point out to you that according to the Lishna Kama, when all is said and done, there's no difference on the surface between a chatzar and a bika. This is the second Rashba's question. In other words, the only reason why you can force a guy to build a wall on a chatzar according to Lishna Kama is because he agreed to build a wall. And in the second half, by bika, on the surface, the same reason the only time you can force somebody to build a wall on a bika, I agree. I make a kinyan. That's Rashba's kasha. What's going on between the why does the Mishnah differentiate the two? So the answer, Danny. So Tosis is saying that by bika, the mere presence of a wall is going to be looked at as both of them because you have no other choice. And now that it fell, doesn't change that. So now the kasha that Tosis is confronted with, which he'll get to in a little bit. He's going to go on a little tangent here because he's got to explain why is it that by a bika, we're assuming that chazaka doesn't work, that being muhsak doesn't work. How is that different than hamach lepara, etc.? Once he answers that, he's now going to have to explain by why a chotzer is different. Yes, Ali Malach. And then Ephraim. Yeah, that's perfectly reasonable, it seems to me. No? We've already established that there are broad exceptions to the rule of Amotzei Lo Chavarai. Right? Situations where I expect the object to be in your possession even though it's not yours. So this is just... By the way, this is not... The Chiddush of Tosfos is that normally by cases of Shutfim and objects held by Shutfis, we know that they were Shutfim. Here we don't know that they were Shutfim. But Tosfos says, anyway, Habayis Faliya Shoshnayim. That's a case where you know they were shutfen. The chinish here is we don't know they were shutfen. I see broken rocks. I extrapolate back up to a standing wall. I envision the standing wall and say, I don't know whose this is. The fact that it falls into one now doesn't give that person moksakas. It's not like the divine equivalent of, you know, a divine... you know, intervention here to make sure that when the wall fell, it's not like the mun. You know what I mean? No, you don't. What do I mean by the mun?
The right amount fell for every person?
What?
That the right amount fell for every person?
That everyone took in, even if they took in more, it would end up being exactly what they
needed. No. What's that? No. It's mamish this case that there was a machlokas between two people while in the Eved. You'd wake up in the morning and see where the portion of man was. And that would clarify for you. So, it's not like we can take the wall falling as a divine sign. It fell into the person who belonged to. So Tosus says that even though we don't know that they were shutfin, the knowledge of an earlier state where the ambiguity existed already is enough evidence to treat it as if it's shel shutfin, where chazaka doesn't help you. So the question then is, then why is that not enough? Why is that not enough in the chatzer? It works by a bika. It works by a bika, so why can't it work by a chatzer? We don't know who built the wall. Nobody could force each other to build a wall. But I see a wall that fell. I know there was a wall. Had I looked at the wall when it was standing, I would have said, don't know. Who does it belong to? So what's the difference between bika and chatzer? Now, Tosus has to now establish, though, this premise, this crucial premise, that even though all I see is somebody possessing, I can reconstruct back to a state which wouldn't actually tell me but vados, would just tell me I don't know. Ephraim.
Well, this says that we would have been the suffering in Tchila. To what degree is that similar to saying that we do something to the ritual, or just that since we don't know, both of you can split because just I don't know.
I don't know that it matters. In other words, I think it's now, do we assume that they were shutfim, or was it already a suffek, and where chazaka is not going to help you? Is there? I don't know if there's an afkamina or not.
You say that it's, we assume that they're shutfim, and that's pretty similar to Rashi, isn't it?
No, because Rashi says we know that they were shutfim. Because if they weren't, somebody would have made a chazas. Tosfos says, Rashi says, if you see a still wall standing, I mean, I hear what you're saying. It'd be easier to say it's just a suffix. We don't assume they're shutfim, but for all intents and purposes, we act as if they were because we have no way to assign when it's standing one more than the other. Fair enough. So now what does Tosfos say? Isaac, do we totally get the world? So Tosfos gets the tarots. Go ahead. Okay. So stop before in order to do this, even though I think I didn't give you yet that case. It's almost later, it's going to be next time, Makaros. I need someone to explain to me exactly what's going on here. I want someone to explain the case with clarity. It's an incredibly important Mishnah. Hamachlif para b'chamor. Eitan, go ahead.
Someone wants to exchange a cow for a donkey and the cow gets hurt. The question is, who does the fetus belong to?
Okay, so isn't the simple answer? Well, it depends upon what? Was the kinyan made before it gave birth or after it gave birth? Why don't we know? Yitzchak?
They weren't there. Presumably the cow was in a different space than the kinyan was.
How were they making a kinyan then?
Because
it was kinyan. The chiddush here is that it's a kinyan chalipin. Mitaltalim art cannot be acquired through cash. If they could, this would have been a simple case. Mm-hmm. Gabe, I would like to buy your para. Here's $100. Gabe says, thank you very much, Rebbe. Takes the $100. I now have a cow. Where's the cow? He's grazing in Flushing Meadows, where a cow should be grazing. Very nice. When did the cow give birth? I don't know, because we weren't there. I gave him the cash standing in Washington Heights. But that kinyan doesn't work. It's machlokas amoraim, whether midaraisa mitaltim on nicknam bekesa, but chacham canceled it, or they're not nicknam at all. The bottom line is to be konet lemaisa. You need meshicha, hagba, or mesira. Hagba, meshicha, mesira, depending upon the size of the thing. Now, if I'm making a kinyan meshicha on the cow, let's say I'm not doing hagba, lifting up a pregnant cow would probably not be a good idea for my back. So it should be pretty easy to tell whether the cow was still pregnant when I pick it up or when I am moshech it. So why is it that we don't know? The answer is the only way to get such a thing is to do a kinyan chalipin. Eli, I want to buy your computer that's sitting in your apartment. Cash. Pick up my marker, raise it high. Now the computer belongs to me. That's what a kinyan chalipin is. A kinyan chalipin, kinyan suitor. You don't need the other object present. When you make a kinyan suitor, it's not mine anyway, so that's why the kinyan isn't valid. I don't own your computer. You make a kinyan suitor, which is, by the way, when just so you understand that weddings are not, it's not heebie-jeebie with the rabbi. Okay, if two of you at least as a nam, Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next 6 months or sooner, are going to get married. And whoever your Masada Kedushin is going to sit at the table and is going to have you, is going to give you a pen before the Ksuba is signed. What are they doing? Judaism explained, 101 now. No. Not Shlichus. What is going on there? Does anybody know? Are any of you married? Let me just check in right here. No, nobody here. Okay. What? Shui's not here. Aha. Shui would know. Oh, Shui is here, but he stepped out. It's good he's out, because this way I won't test him like, do you remember? I don't expect the husband to remember. The answer is that in order for a ksuba to be binding, well, it's meaningful, the husband has to be mishabit all of his nechasim for the ksuba. The ksuba without shibun nechasim is not valid. They can't cohabit. I, acting as the kala shaliach, the tosis and kiddush tachavavam abeis, as someone else can do it, one of the edim, can give the sudar. I give the chasan a kli. In exchange for that, he is makna for shibud purposes, the partial kinyan, the typical explanation, all of his assets, current and future, to be meshubat to pay that ksuba. That's what the kinyan is about. It's a kinyan sudar. This kli in exchange for all of your assets, not straight exchange, but the shibud and all of your assets to pay the ksuba if necessary. That's all it is. It's very simple. Yes.
Why not? You need to know that the person giving you your pen for the shibud and all your nechasim.
Yes, if you're a mesader kiddushin.
I'm saying, like, you were saying you didn't want to test shui.
I explained to him, but he understood at the time what he was doing, but he might have been sufficiently dazed, as many chasanim are, that it enters. But
blood sugar.
What?
Low blood sugar.
Okay. So bottom line, that's what you're doing. That's what the Kenyan suitor is. It's by the way, Bosai, some of you did Dafka Moment Alpha Mikias, right? Eli Melech, I want to go on a hike with you on Sunday. Okay? Make a Kenyan. Can't even catch. Okay. So pick it up. Make a Kenyan. Does he have to go on a hike with me?
Yes.
Not because we
can. Why not? Why not? Why not? Isaac? What? What does that mean? What is he giving me in exchange for that? There has to be an object. Object, a straight out Kenyan, or object for a shibud, which is really a mixed-us Kenyan. That's what a lean... There may be another interpretation, but the standard interpretation of a shibud nechasim, I lend you money, I acquire, and as if you have land when I lend you the money, and you sell that land to somebody else, and you can't pay back the loan, I can seize it because I have a shibud on it. What does a shibud mean? It means I bought the land conditionally when I loaned you the money. That if you don't pay me back, and you have no other assets to pay me back, I bought the land. So why can I take the land away from Eitan who bought it from you? The answer is because I bought it first. I bought it conditionally. Eitan should try to find that out, whether anybody bought it conditionally. That's the whole idea of a milk. Shibud only works with Rabbanim when there's a hashtar, when there's a kol, that Eitan can find out. He can do a title search and discover that, in fact, I loaned, gave the money, and be careful when you buy land from Gabe. So a shibud, a Kenyan has to be either on an object or on a shibud. It can't be on an intangible object. By the way, the same way a neder can't be hal on an action. It can only be hal on an object. Right, I can't take a neder that I won't do malacha for you. I can say my hands are asur bano for the purposes of doing malacha for you, because my hands are tangible. But I can't take a neder that I won't sleep, because sleeping is an intangible action, and a neder and a kinyan doesn't work on something that's not tangible. I'll take that back now. Okay, because you're not going to hike with me. Sorry. Okay. So the reason, Eitan, while we have mach lepar b'hamor, daf kinyan chalipin, is so that we can have a case where nobody sees the para when the kinyan is being made. Right? I do a kinyan meshicha or mesira on the hamor, and you are getting my para, and the para is, you know, in Disneyland or somewhere where nobody sees. So nobody knows whether it gave birth at 10 to 10 or 10 after 10. Ellie?
Theoretically, could this also be accomplished with the kinyan haga?
Can someone throw something at him? Yes. Or why did you make it maybe with a kemay mitzlashtan? Or we could go on if you like. What?
The whole list of the kinyan.
Maybe my grandmother had wheels stuck here. Okay, fine. All right. So now, what's the case? It's a crucial mishnah bav metziah. Wamach lepara. Okay, we don't know. Now, keep in mind that there are two ways. The simple reading of the Mishnah, although the Gemara offers an alternative, is what is Isaac's Taina, what's my Taina? What does Isaac say? Isaac sold me his cow. I gave him my donkey. What is Isaac's claim? Now the cow gave birth. What is Isaac's claim? And what is my claim? So I don't know that that's actually true. You have to add one word into both, which is crucial. Maybe. If we don't know, there are two ways of formulating the machlokes. There are four ways. I'm formulating it shema ushema, as opposed to bari ubari. You know what the Mishnah says the din is? Anybody know? Nobody looked up the Mishnah.
You tough? I didn't look it up, but I can't remember. It's my mistake. It's a little bit seen
Sumchus. The Mishnah says Yachlokum. Okay. Gemara says it's Sumchus.
Okay.
Now, the Gemara suggests, though, before it realizes that it's Sumchus, first they ask Akasha, why didn't you see where the para is? If it's in Isaac's Rishus, so he has a chazaka on it, and he gets the Vlad. If it's in my Rishus, I get the Vlad. So Gabe says the Gemara answers Bagan. Okay. But then the Gemara asks another kasha. Why don't we look at the Marakama? Who was the first owner? Who was that last known owner? And that forces the Gemara to say, the Mishnah Sumchus. I'm not interested in any more details of Big Machlokas Harishonim about whether or not the Chachamim might agree with Sumchus. I think in a case of, I don't know if it's this case, where Isaac says Shema and I say Bari. I say for short it was Yoled after he came into my Rishus. And Isaac says, who was the Marakama, he says, I'm not sure. I think the Rambam and the Rif there say Yachloku, which is a big Chiddush. Many Rishonim vehemently object to that and say that's Sumchus still. Not on our topic now. I know we deal with Maman Mutam Safek. I don't know if I'm going to do the whole Sumchus topic. I'm going to try to stick it to the Chachamim Shita. So, Tosfos now says, go ahead, Isaac. So for the Kasha is, when the Gemara asks the question, why don't we see who's Rishus it's in? That indicates possession is 9/10 of the law. So why, in this case, when the wall falls, and there's no chazis, and we have no idea of who built it in the first place, why do we assume that whoever possesses it is the one who gets to keep it? Why shouldn't we? That's what we should assume, because Hamach Lepar B'Chamor. So Tosa says, Okay, stop. So Tosa says that because when you look at the wall and it's standing, you have no idea whose it is. That suffix, it's not that they're, we know that we assume that the Shutfim, Ephraim, I'll accept that. It's that we have no idea who it belongs to. But there's already a suffix, so now when it falls into one person's Rishus, that doesn't get them a chazaka. Whereas, by the para and chamor, so there, it was clear whose Rishus it was in to begin with. And therefore, you don't say, therefore possession, and it's clear that it transferred in the end, so therefore possession actually would be telling. In other words, another way of saying that is that by para and chamor, there's no liminal state. There's no point where they're joint owners. It's one or the other, and we just don't know when the transfer occurred, and therefore a chazaka of biyado is actually meaningful. And then Tosa says, just to make your life fun for you, and I don't know why he feels the need to say this, V'ha.
V'ha d'lo amar racha kol da'alim d'var. K'mo v'zeh amir shalav ati. Ata hu d'leka d'var d'umona, aval ha'cha ika d'var d'umona.
Okay. So Ephraim, I think this, by the way, should prove the formulation that we adopted, which is it's not that we assume it's shel shutzvis, it's that we just don't know. Tosfos has explained why we don't do yet, why we don't say, look at whose rishus it's in. Because the rishus indicates nothing here. Because we know the wall fell, and we know when the wall was standing, we had no idea. It was in nobody's rishus. Fine. But it's not a fine that we assume that it was both of them, which explains the next kash and Tosfos. I don't know if you guys, it's going to be on the next Makaros. What is the din of called Alim Kvar? I got to look around the shir who I want to pick on here. I'm bigger than most people in the shir, so you don't want to get into a call, the Alim Kvar with me. Not sure my age, if that's true. Yoni? Called the Olam Gvar, the case on Lamed Dalet in our Masechta, there's a boat that two people are arguing about. One person says, it's mine. The other person says, no, it's not, it's mine. And they come to Beis Din, neither of them is holding the boat, it's a little hard to hold the boat. And Beis Din, no evidence. Beis Din says, the two of you go fight it out. What's that?
Take it outside.
Essentially. Called the Olam Gvar. Probably technically for the if you want to be pedantic, call the olam govar, the Aramaic participle. Call the olam govar. Satosa says we have no idea who this wall belongs to when it's standing, and therefore that lack of knowledge extends to when it falls. Possession doesn't indicate anything. But why do we say they divide it up? Why don't we tell the two of them, why don't you go for 15 rounds in the ring? Yeah, some of you may be concerned about called Olam Kvar because that sounds like a recipe for unending strife. Fine. So the Rush says, called Olam Kvar, it's one strike and you're out. Whoever grabs it first, there's no back and forth. But that's kind of irrelevant. Yes. Now, what's the svara behind called Olam Kvar? Well, that is, it's not a divine, it's not like the medieval trial by ordeal. But it's an assumption that if it's yours, you're going to fight harder for it. Now, I'm not sure how meaningful that is, because if it were me and Andre the Giant, may he rest in peace, I'm not sure it matters how much I want to fight for it. Right? Okay. Yes, Gabe.
Is it svara that the correct person's going to get, or is it just Beis Din saying, we don't want to get involved because we might be wrong?
We're going to have to talk about it. But a lot of Rishonim say, Beis Din doesn't want to get involved because there's no evidence. They don't seize it. They don't want to split it because they'd be doing something wrong. But why is the mechanism of called the Olam Gvar as opposed to, let's say, Yehemuna Chachir Avaliyo? So the answer, so some Rishonim say, because the assumption is the person whom it really belongs to is the one who's going to be most in Nefesh for it. It's kind of like a Solomonic, you know, approach, you know, of the mother and the babies. So I know they don't invoke Shlomo Melch, but I think that's the closest thing. Ephraim.
Can you have a kol da'alim on the land also?
Can you have kol da'alim? Yeah, you could. It's not because it's in the water. The challenge will be, how do you distinguish between that and Shnayim Ochas and Betalas? It's a big machlo. That's what we're going to have to explore in the next sugya. Okay, for the moment, why not say kol da'alim gvar by the wall? So Tosa says, quoting from the Gemara. Go ahead. What's the answer, Isaac? The last thing you read. What does drara de mamona mean?
Like,
that's what Rashi says in Bab Mitzvah. A lot of Rishonim don't like that. Nisim, what's drara de mamona? So firstly, the word drara, if you look up the comprehensive Aramaic lexicon, which is not going to be helpful, means, in many dialects of Aramaic, means to fight. Not sure how that translates here. So for the moment, without going further, I'm going to accept Nissim's interpretation, which is the Rashbam's, which is Shaychus of the Mamo. In other words, both parties here have Shaychus to this wall. Not with certainty, but there's a wall between the two Chatzeros. There's a reason to assume that both have relevance to the wall. The boat, we know absolutely nothing about. Two guys in a boat. We don't know who it belonged to in the past. Neither one has it in their rishus. As far as we're concerned, there's no connection between either party and the boat. And in fact, the Gemara talks about, what if a third person comes along and grabs the boat and says it's theirs? So Tosa says that you can't apply that to a wall. They're only going to say called the Alim Gavar when, from Beis Din's vantage point, neither party has shaychus to the object. Okay. So now, thank you, Isaac. Well read. Now we've set up the question. If, in fact, a wall falling down in the chatzer, we know that it was a wall that fell. It happens to fall into one person's rishus. If, because we know it was a suffix in the first place, it remains a suffix now and they divide, chalken. So why is it that the Mishnah needs to say, lefika, because you can force the guy to build the kosel bal karcho, that's why you divide it. And if you couldn't, you would divide it anyway in the absence of evidence. So, somebody else had volunteered and I promised would read after Isaac. Yitzhak, was that you? No. You only got Umatari 3. Ooh, Satosis here is going to go out on a limb. When the Gemara said Pshita, what was the assumption of the Kasha? The way everybody else explained besides Tosos. What is the Gemara's teretz? Ignoring what Tosos says. The Gemara says Pshita, and the Gemara says Lo Tzricha Kigon. It fell into one guy's rishus. I would have thought that he could claim ownership, Kamashmal, and he can't. Why? Because we know they had to build a wall together in the first place. Now, that's not how Tosus reads the Gemara. Now, so what's the Havamina? I'm sorry, what's the Havamina according to that? What did the Gemara assume when it asked Pshita?
Fell in the middle,
like the walls of Yericho. Straight down. The answer is it fell one-sided. But remember, Tosfos already knows what? That the Gemara doesn't, or that the Gemara should. That because when the wall was standing, you wouldn't know who it belongs to, automatically, when the wall falls, you assume that. So the Gemara should have known already that even if it fell into one person's side, it doesn't belong to that person. So Tosus now has to explain the Gemara. It sounds like the Gemara didn't know that. So Tosus says, and this is, by the way, this is not what Rashi says. Go ahead, Mishani. Gemara answers, Hey Rush, what did the Gemara mean? Ah. Tosa says, no, of course the Gemara knew at this outset that even though the wall fell onto one person's side, it doesn't belong to that person. Pshita. Why? Because when the wall was standing, we didn't know it belonged to him. So why, when it falls, should we assume it does? Someone says, no, lo tzricha, the nafal of shus t'chaminayel, v'shahu v'shus al harbe. It stayed there for months and months and months. Mahu, the tema, go ahead. Show Harbe. He's not finished, Tosis, because he's not going to ask the Kasha. But what Tosis is saying is the Gemara saying the following. No. It's not just a case where it falls into one person's hot side. It fell there and it sat there a long time. And Tosis assumes, which I think all the other Rishonim disagree with, that if it sat there a long time and the person said, you sold me it, he would win. So now you might think you have amigo to say, I built this wall alone. That's why. Not because I bought it from you after it fell. I bought this wall alone. Now, if I had said I bought it from you, I would have. So you would have thought that if I say I bought the wall, I built the wall alone, I would win. Mishnah says no. Tosis will explain in a moment. Why not? Why not? Amigo b'makom eidim. What does amigo b'makom eidim mean? What does amigo mean? Explain to me basis of amigo. Shui.
Since the person could have claimed something, like an easier way to get a certain thing.
Or equally easy.
You're right, then, because he's not saying that one. Do you believe him for the other one?
I say A. I could have said B just as easily. I would have believed with B. So believe me when I say A. Okay. So, I'll give you amigo. The cops come and find me that I killed a person. And I claim that the guy was flying in the air, flapping his hands, and he was flying, and he was about to descend upon me and kill me, and I pulled my gun and shot him. Now, if I just said the guy attacked me, he looked like a big, burly guy with a criminal record, and I said I shot him in self-defense, you would have believed me. But instead, I tell you that he flew in the air, flapped his arms, he was descending upon me, and I shot him in self-defense. What's going to happen? Do we believe me? What? The answer is we don't believe me, because we know it's not true. Ah, but I could have said the simpler story. So normally we assume, in the absence of evidence, when I could have said B and I say A instead, and there's no evidence that A is false, why would I lie? Now, the truth is, and the answer is, I must be telling the truth. There could be another answer. It could be that I'm just a pathological liar. We know of such things. So the most obvious explanation is that I'm telling the truth. But let's say we know I'm not telling the truth. Because Edom say my time is a lie. Then I lose. Why? Because when I advance a taina, even though I could have said a better taina, I am evaluated on the basis of the taina that I made. And if the taina that I made is false, I lose. Period. We don't say, Miko, I could have said a better taina. Am I lying? I could have said a better lie, therefore not lying. But I am lying. That's the way it is. Why? Who knows what my psychology is? Now, Miko b'malkom Edom here is not Edom mamish, but Tosfos is anan sadeh. There's an anan sadeh, there's an umdana, an estimation, an evaluation, a probability that is so great that it's like Eidos. That if I can force Elimelech to build the wall with me, I'm not going to pay for it myself. And therefore, even though I could have said lakuachi biyadi once it was shahu zman harbe, and I would win with that, I'm not nemet to say that I built the wall on my own, because that's a lie. Because anan sadeh, they didn't build the wall. Ah! If I were lying, I could have told a better lie. Well, yeah, but maybe I'm a pathological liar, whatever reason. So therefore, what the Gemara is saying is, the way Tosis reads, Lefikach im nafal akosa vadim shel shneim. Akosa, hamakom shel shneim. Tosis says, Lefikach, because I can force Elimelech to build that wall with me, even if he doesn't want to. If the wall falls into my rishus, and it sits there a long time and Eli Melech leaves it there, I cannot taina that I built that wall myself. I'm not believed. It will be a makom avanu shel shneim. Why? Because anan sade that I don't build that wall myself if I can force Eli Melech to do it with me. That's all. Matosas now has made an incredible chiddush. What seemed to be a very simple reading of the Gemara, which is lepika pshita. The Gemara was assuming the way all the Rishonim read is it fell straight down to the Rishos of Shneim. So of course you divide it up with the Shad. And the Gemara's answer was no, it fell into one person's side, but it doesn't matter because since I can force Eli Melech to build with me, there's an umdana that we built a Peshutfis. And once something is known to be owned by Shutfin, it's assumed there's no tainas anymore. Tosa says, no. Tosa says, we knew already if the wall fell into one side, that in itself wouldn't be proof of mochzakus. That wouldn't be mochzakus. Why? Because when the wall was standing, we wouldn't know it belonged to. So now that it fell on one side, who cares? Tosa says, we knew that already. What we didn't realize is that it's an anan sade that we built the wall together. So in a case where I would have a migo against Eli Melech, namely when it fell and he left it in my rishus for 6 months, where I have a claim, lakuach ubiyadi. So now I would have thought that I could also say I built the wall alone. The answer is no, you can't, because that's a lie. Because I'm not sad that you didn't. Now, if it were not shahu harbe in my rishus, I can't say lakuach ubiyadi, because it's assumed to have been built jointly, because that's just what we know. And of course, we don't have to go there. Even though he left the Ma'ariv just a long time. Yes, Ali Melech.
If we had this Sade to say that I could have forced you to pull the wall and vice versa, and which implied we entered some agreement at some point, I don't know. Then
not known.
So how are we assuming I could have forced you or vice versa?
Oh, I'm sorry. 1 second. No. The starting point is that under ordinary circumstances, even without one of us being able to force the other, we're going to divide it up anyway, even though it fell into the rishus of one. In other words, that it's not a chiddush. What the fact that you can, in other words, there is, even though it's not, as Ephraim pointed out, it's not because we assume that you and I were shufim, but because we have no other way of assuming, we just know what to assume. We will treat it as if it's b'shoshneinu, and falling into one doesn't change that. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that in a situation where I can force you to build the wall and you can force me to build the wall, of course when we see the wall standing, we certainly can't assume it belongs to one of us. And of course when it falls onto one side, we don't assume it belongs to that person. But it's more than that. The assumption, because is so strong that we built it jointly, that even in a case where you would have a migo to claim that you own these stones, if you claim that you built the wall yourself, you lose.
Only in the situation where it's known to have been forced to build.
Correct. Which is why you need the Adam Shekano.
Is that self-evident?
Isn't what self-evident? So now the answer is the following. The Edom witnessed the Kenyan, but they don't know actually what happened afterwards. In other words, it's possible afterwards I could have come to you and said, look, Eli Melech, I know you're married, you graduated, I know this is a financial burden, I'll build a wall, it'll be mine, and we'll be done. That's what I claim happened. I'm forgiving, I'm being mocha, your obligations. Come in.
Can't that be undermined any opinion then?
Yes, but here I have a mig. Now the point is, migo b'malkom edim, Tosfos is saying it's a migo b'malkom anan sade. The debate is not whether or not you agreed to build the wall. The debate is whether you actually built the wall with me, or I just decided I'll build it myself. The Anan Sade is that once I could force you to build the wall, and I know that I could force you to build the wall because they're Aden that we made a Kenyan. The Anan Sade is I never built that wall myself. Okay?
So the finish is basically going from we agreed to build the wall together to accepting that reality that it did.
Right. Correct.
And once that's the case, the amount of, I guess, leaving it there could never make a valid thing that's going to be from the get-go.
Correct. Leaving it there long enough, according to Tosas, might allow me to claim Lakoch in Yadi. And let me add one piece to that, which is the reason why, I'm not sure, I think Tosas would say, other Rishonim disagree. The Torah writes Beferish, if you looked at the Torah that I gave you, doesn't matter how long you leave it there. The other Rishonim seem to be operating on an assumption that you're Shutfim. Tosas is not. See, if... Well, I'm going to scratch that. I'm not going to go there. Yes, what are you going to ask?
What is the huge conceptual difference between us building it together and then by letting you buy it from me later on, than simply after us agreeing originally, you said, you know what, I'm okay with you building it yourself?
So the... What, so no. The buying it later on is a stuff that fell down into my rishus. After the wall fell down. You're asking, it's a Matthias question, an important one. Could I tie into that I bought the wall from you afterwards? The answer is probably not. Not until
the same
correct. Not until it collapses. Okay. Ephraim.
There's an additional few in the pick up that people are not vocal on the initial opinion.
You're asking, you're playing with his question.
Right.
No, I think the Lefikach is that you could say that, but I'm not. I think logically he's correct. It seems unlikely to assume that just if you would be willing to sell the existing wall to me, why wouldn't you just, you know, I'm willing to buy the existing wall from you. Why wouldn't you also assume that I'd be willing to say, you know what, I'll just build the wall myself? Well, this is a psychological undue issue. It doesn't matter to me. You know, I don't think this matters one way or the other. Because that second one's not an Anan Sade, it's just the absence of evidence. But the Anan Sade, the way that we should have formulated, is that nobody builds that wall once they can force, alone when they can force the other party to do it. Okay. Okay, read on a little bit, Jan, go ahead. The Afagav. Oh, so the Gemara already says there that Shutfen are not machpin on one another, leaving stuff in the other Rishos. So Tosa says. Oh, okay. So this is the last thing we're going to read now. We'll stop with this. I just want to explain a comment here. I think it is not explicitly formulated in the other Rishonim arguing on Tosas, but I think there's actually a major machlokas here. Tosas has to reconcile his position. Tosas, in order to read the Gemara, has to say that even by Shutfin, if you leave it a long enough time, that then the person has the right to claim I bought it. And that's your leaving it there long enough is evidence or possible evidence that the person bought it from you. So other Rishonim reject. They don't... How much Beferish rejected, the Torah rejects it, Beferish. Doesn't matter how long you leave it there. Truth is, Tosas only came on to this idea because he was forced to by what the contradiction he perceived. So let's posit for the moment that there is a machlokas whether or not if you leave something a long enough period and you know, for a long time in your shutaf's possession, can that person ever claim they bought it from you or not? The other Rishonim say no. If it was known to belong to shutfim, you can't get a chazak on it. And Tosfos is claiming you can get a chazak on it. It's just a higher level of proof required. So I want you to think about for tomorrow. We'll finish the Tosfos and move on to the Rashba. I want to try to finish the sugya tomorrow. I won't push. If we need one more day in Iyun, that's fine. But what is that machlokas about? What is that machlokas about? And why would you say, for one side, that no matter how long you leave it in the possession of the shutfis, it's still assumed to be shutfim? Most Rishonim. And Tosfos says no. Tosfos says that just because they're shutfim, you can leave it there forever. The other Rishonim would say, yeah. So the question is, what is that argument about? All right, any questions?
Yeah, so according to Tosfos, the Mishnah talking about a case where the falling wall is in one possession for a while, right? So isn't that like something, a big detail
the Mishnah
left out and should have mentioned
that
or something?
Yes. But there are a lot of Teirutim of Tosfos. It's Tosfos style, you could ask that question. Yes. And the Rishonim asked that beforehand, actually. They said, like, the Iker's Chasim and Asefer on Daf Dalet. Daf Gimel, right. Right, and that's how could the Mishnah, the Gemara really sounds like it thought it was fell in jointly in Yericho, and instead the Gemara says, let's read now for Shusa the Chadminai, yeah. And if the Gemara already knew that in the Makshan knew that, so why didn't they say Rishon's Man Harbe? Yeah, that is correct. Ellie.
With regards to the question of why Tosfos seems to be bringing in a lot of things that may or not be so relevant, like Kol D'Alei Gemara, is there a tendency in Tosfos, like there is in opening sugyas of a septo, to sort of give you an overview of a lot of things that may or not actually be so relevant for septo?
No, I think this is absolutely relevant. I think this piece is, that's why I thought about what Ephraim had said. And why that? And it bothered me a while ago reading Tosfos. Why does he bring the Kol D'Alei Midbar? But now reading it, I understood why. And as I grant you why we don't assume Chazaka works, Mochzakos works. But now that it's a Safi, so we're not going to give it one or the other. Why do we choose Yachloku as opposed to choosing Kol D'Alei Midbar? It's a logical question. Why did we assume? We divide the Mishnah saying Yachloku. It doesn't use that word, but Hamalkam Avanu Shoshneim is Yachloku.
So he's required to make the distinction between something with too much and something with too little.
Okay.